You are listening to a podcast from Vineyard Church of Augusta. For more information, visit vineyardaugusta.org.
I want to introduce my favorite among us this morning. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 is when there's a big transition going on with the children of Israel. Moses has passed away, and Joshua has now been given the leadership of taking the children of Israel into the promised land. And God speaks to Joshua and he says, be strong and courageous. Be very strong and very courageous. And those words have always resonated with me. And I got to tell you, I've been able to see those words in action over the course of Mary Margaret's, our interaction, but particularly the last 7 months with her cancer diagnosis last fall. And just seeing the strength and the courage that she has maintained through this fight. And I am just so thankful, yeah, so thankful for where God has her today, us today. And this morning she's gonna come and share. I'm so thankful that she's my wife of 28 years, the mother of our children. First service I said my children, yeah, just mine. And I'm also thankful to get to work with her in the, as our V-Kids pastor and our outreach pastor. So she's going to bring it this morning, so let's give it up for Mary Margaret.
So I'll just start off crying. And just a heads up, spoiler alert, I will cry throughout the day, throughout the morning, because I did first service. I'm sorry, I hate that. And going along with what Reese said, I want to thank all of you. For supporting us through these last 7 or 8 months. You have been gracious to us beyond words. And even when we weren't gracious, and I was mad and bald and in a beanie over there. So so thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, let me get back into this. My kids are, our kids are 20, 15, and 13. And when Lily was like in first or second grade, Charlotte and McCatherine were however much younger. I can't do the math right now. They were little. Small enough that I could carry both of them in my arms coming down the stairs. Oh, my honeys. You know, we did that. It was every morning. Yeah, aw. Yeah. it was a good time. And Lily, that when you have small children, you're just busy. It's just a busy, busy time, no matter what. And so we were all up in it with the busyness, and Lily had fooled us. She just made us think we were just parents faboo because, you know, she slept, she never got sick, she was just did every, she read the book on how to be a baby before she was born. Every milestone, boom, hit it. Charlotte and McCatherine, not so much. They are terrific humans, but babies, it was a difficult time. They were always sick, always crying, always vomiting. Something was always something. And we had had a particularly rough weekend, and Reese had taken Lily to school, and I was carrying two smelly, crying honeys down the stairs, and it was just terrible. And I cried out in a loud voice to God, now would be a really good time for you to do something. AKA, come Holy Spirit, okay? That's where that was. You know, almost every Sunday in Vineyard churches, we've got about 600 of them across the United States, pastors, and in our V Kids building, the phrase, the prayer, the three-word prayer, come Holy Spirit, is prayed. And that prayer was sort of made famous by someone a very long time ago, Stephen Langdon, the Archbishop of Canterbury. And he was Archbishop of Canterbury from 1207 to 1228. And in his prayer, Veni Sancti Spiritus. And some translations of some phrases in that prayer are this: wash what is dirty, refresh what is dry, heal what is wounded, bend what is stubborn, melt what is frozen, direct what is wondering. So when we pray, come Holy Spirit, we're saying a lot. We are praying for a lot to happen. So let's pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us up. Direct us in the way that you would have us to go. We just worship you and thank you so much. And I pray that these words would restore, renew, rejuvenate, just do what you want them to do, Jesus. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so living in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work in us always, if we are open and allowing him to do that. So the checklist is in Galatians. We're going to bear some fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Check, 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 check. No, that's not how that happens. You know, I wish it was. Ben Franklin had his virtues, and he tried to do this sort of behavioral experiment. He would devote a month or a few weeks to work on a particular virtue, and then he would move on to the next one, and then he found out, then he was on the second one. He had already messed up the first one. It was like behavioral whack-a-mole. You know, we can't do that. These things come from within. It's just like the food that we eat. You know, it's going to give us nourishment. It's going to help us think better, help us just do lots of things better. These kinds of love, joy, peace, patience, all nine pieces of that fruit, that's going to come from within, from something that the Holy Spirit is going to do in us and through us. So if we want to look at Galatians 5, verses 23 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know, those words, the passion and desire, those sound so alluring, and they make it sound like, well, if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then we're going to live a passionless and suppressed life. And that's not true. Do you know that one of the definitions for passions is feelings that cause you to act in a dangerous way? I think that's what the scripture is referring to. It's not having a boring, listless life. It's choosing not to be reckless and not to be dangerous, and to be in step with the Spirit is where our real life and our real experience is. And this takes time. Usually when we are kind of doing that self-medicating, one shot, this is going to be just great, I'm just going to do this, this is going to just help me feel good right now, and then we end up feeling worse after that. But when we are in step with the Holy Spirit and we are committed to the long haul, it is a step-by-step process, sort of like a river canyon. You're going to see some pictures. These things don't just happen overnight. It takes years and years and years of water and erosion that brings about these amazing vistas and these incredible canyons. It's as though we are that rock and the Holy Spirit is that water. And his love and his gentleness and his kindness is eroding our selfishness and our dangerous desires to... he wants to create in us the person he has planned for us to be since before time began. Things happen in our lives. Cue crying. that we didn't ask for, that we didn't deserve, and that we didn't expect. Difficult things, hard things, enormously unfair things. These things do not reflect God's character. But instead, these things bring about the reminder of God's promise to always be with us. His Holy Spirit is with us, walking with us, covering us, protecting us, carrying us through this. In John 16, Jesus says, you're going to have trouble in this world, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, these experiences, they can't just be left alone. We can't just have them. We're going to be changed. If we submit ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit as we go through these things, that fruit is born. I am not a big devotional book reader. And yay if you are, yay, but I am not. But through a anyway, I have this book my friend Michelle gave me, and I had read about this book, and it is a devotional book, but it was written in 1904, so that makes it groovy, and it's British, so that means I can like it. So, but yesterday's reading had a lot to do with this idea of when things are difficult, this is one of the ways that that fruit is born. Thou art never at any time nearer to God than when under tribulation, which he permits for the purification and the beautifying of thy soul. And this other one is pretty great too. Prize inward exercises, griefs, and troubles, and let faith and patience have their perfect work in them. So I watched this show. It's on PBS, and it's called Civilizations. And I was watching an episode a couple weeks ago, and it was called God and Art. And so it was all kinds of religions and their art. And one thing that was so interesting to me, there was a sculptor, and he had a piece of ivory a little bit bigger than my water bottle, and he was recreating a sculpture that had been done tens of thousands of years ago. But he wanted to make it exactly like the original sculptor had made it. And so he's takes whatever the instrument is, and he's rubbing it. And he said, well, it's taken me 2 weeks to release the arm. And then it took me X amount of time to release this, and X amount of time to release that. And as I'm listening to this, I think, when I look at that, I see a rectangle of ivory. But when you look at that, when the sculptor looks at that, he sees the already beautiful piece of art, and it just needs to be released out of the ivory. And I kept thinking about that over the week, and it was like, wait, that's like the Holy Spirit. He does not see us as just our blobby failure selves. Instead, he sees how he can release us from that. He can empower us to bear the fruit of his Spirit. And he does. He empowers us. He emboldens us. And he does it always through kindness. He is always kind. But unlike the riverbed and unlike the sculptor's medium, we have a choice in this. We get to invite the Holy Spirit into this, into our daily lives. So what does that look like? Think about your daily life. Where do you work? Who do you talk to? Who do you see? And what would really happen if we really invited the Holy Spirit into that, into what that is? You know, the story I told you at the beginning of me yelling intensely at God that now would be a good time for him to do something, that was all I had at that moment. That was the only way I could invite him into my mess, because it was pretty messy. And, you know, I would much prefer it be like, you know, like when they're like little brochures for like women's conferences, and they got their monogram tote bag and the big pink Bible, and it's all swirly and in cursive and all that. I wish it looked like that. My life doesn't look like that. I do have a monogram tote bag. I do have that, but I don't have the other stuff. Because my life is not all neat and tidy like that. My life is full of me begging God nonstop to reveal his voice to me, to reveal his word to me, to help me know how to pray, to help me know how to listen to people. Corinthians 2:12 says, we have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So come, Holy Spirit, and show me what you're doing. If we lean into the Holy Spirit, we can pray and do things so much more effectively than we ever dreamed that we could. We're not on our own in this. The Holy Spirit is always with us, always helping us, always abiding with us. And to me, this three-word prayer, come Holy Spirit, means we are submitting ourselves to the holy order of things. We are, I give up, I can't do anything in this, I need help. You are the one that has the answers. We're inviting the one who can untangle our mess, who can heal the sick, who can raise the dead, who can calm our fears, who can save our marriages, who can help our kids, who can give us kids, who can heal our broken hearts, who can heal our marriages, who can give us marriages, who gives us breath. We're asking that Holy Spirit to come. And we want to know His plan. His plan is so much bigger than our plan. His agenda is so much better and higher than ours. You know, our five-step prayer model that we talk about, Don did a class on it a few weeks ago, and in our kids' building, we have this great coloring book, and we teach the kids how to do this. To me, it just brings all this together in that, you know, you're asking someone, hey, can I pray for you? They tell you what they want prayer for, but then we lean in and we discern. We ask the Holy Spirit, what are you doing here? How can I be a part of what you want to do in this person's life? How you want to release this person? How you want to love this person? How you want to heal this person? And we walk in the Spirit. You know, I was raised in church, like, from before birth. And so there are lots of little phrases that are, you know, churchisms, you know, like the meat of the word. And, you know, that I never really understood. I know it's in the Bible, but it was just like, okay. And then this walk in the Spirit, you know, what does that mean? Because sometimes it can mean that we are so heavenly minded, we're of no earthly good. And that's not what Jesus had in mind at all. When we are walking in the Spirit, we are learning that we can take step by step by step in our relationship with Him. The more we practice honoring God's Spirit, and the more we listen, and the more we follow God's Spirit and His guidance, the more that God can use us in really unique and powerful ways. This takes time, kind of a running theme to what I've told you today. It takes time to forge those canyons. It takes time. When I'm teaching down in V-Kids, I usually ask, okay, who is the youngest person in the room? And, you know, somebody will say whatever. And I'm always the oldest person in the room. And it's like, you know, you're starting to learn how to hear God's voice, and that never stops. Even when you're 1,000 like me, you know, it never stops. Or 53. We are always, you know, pushing and leaning in. To walk in the Spirit does not mean that we deny our human nature and our flaws. We don't. If anything, I think it just means we are more aggressive in how we pursue the Holy Spirit. And one of those ways, I think, is just being aware of who's around us, who God is putting in our path. Because I don't think any of us who follow Jesus would ever willfully deny love and kindness and the touch of Jesus to anyone. But are we listening? Are we paying attention? Who do we see? Who is Jesus ministering to? Who is He wooing? Who is He putting right in our path? You know, there was a kind of a long phase that I kind of got into. It was accidentally. I was praying for people at the grocery store a lot. It wasn't like I would run up to them and accost them and go, I got to pray for you. It was they would ask me where something was because I look like I know where everything in the grocery store is, I guess. And I would tell them, and then, you know, we're talking about the milk, and all of a sudden they tell me some terrible, sad thing in their life or some difficulty. I can't help them, but Jesus can. And so I would say, hey, can I pray for you? And they always said, sure, which always surprised me. And sometimes it's easier for me to pray for strangers because you kind of that, you know, that kind of hit and run deal. But last fall, there's a friend of mine. She's a physician, and she is just the most calm, nurturing person. I think like the most harsh thing until that day that I'd ever heard her say was, oh goodness. I mean, really. And that's the only person in my life that's the harshest thing I've ever heard them say. Just, oh goodness. I mean, she's just a very caring, just that person. And I called her. We were working out something for our kids to do something together after school one day. And it was right after this Jumbotron storm that came through, and so a lot of the coastal towns were sending the hospitals were sending their patients here to the medical college. And she was in charge of a big group doing that, and so I was saying, you know, how are you doing? And this calm, soothing person, just as the conversation goes on, just escalates. And she's like telling me she's so distraught about the care that the patients had received prior to getting to her. And like, I mean, she's really getting intense on the phone. And she said, "I even told a resident to go home. He's going to kill people." I was like, okay. And then she's just like crying and angry. I mean, not, obviously not me. It was just like one of those release moments. And I didn't know what to do. So I just said, "Can I pray for you?" And she, "Yes, you can." And so I prayed for her. We were friends, but we hadn't gone to that part of friendship. I don't know. We never avoided talking about Jesus. It just never came up. We talked about our kids in school. And so I prayed for her, and total honesty here. As I was praying, I was thinking, "Oh, am I losing a friend? Is she gonna think I'm some kind of freak? What is gonna happen?" And we finished, "Thank you," and so you hung up. And then I was kind of dreading seeing her the next time. It's like, ugh, how's that gonna go? And as soon as I saw her, she's like, "That was just the greatest gift." And she told another friend of ours, she said, "Nobody ever asked to pray for me before," which is interesting. This is a person who I believe she loves God, but she's not in a church, and all this is just not their deal right now. But I couldn't do anything to help her. But the Holy Spirit knew exactly what she needed and how she needed it. And just kind of a side note, cool thing here, she and her husband have a couple kids, and their youngest is 13, our daughter Charlotte, they're friends. And they had been told years ago, "You're never going to have kids again, just forget it, just don't even waste your money in trying to do this." And that had always kind of been a hurt for her. Well, she told me, she said, "Remember that day," this was like a month later, after the phone call, she said, "Remember that day I went crazy on the phone?" I said, "Yeah, I do, yeah." And she said, "Well, guess what? I didn't know I was pregnant." So see how Jesus is just so cool like that? Very kind indeed. But the Holy Spirit knew what she needed. The Holy Spirit knows what each one of us needs, even before we do. So I want to close with this. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." So the Spirit is our seal and our deposit, confirming in us God's promise-keeping nature. And if God keeps his promises, and he's always working everything out for our good, then why not let us invite the Holy Spirit into every part of our life? He will wash what is dirty. He'll refresh what is dry. He will heal what is wounded and bend what is stubborn, and he will melt what is frozen, and he will direct what is wandering. Do we want to pray for the moms before we do the moms? Okay. So I was supposed to do this at the beginning. If you are a mom from all the categories that Reese mentioned, step, expecting, regular, grandma, if you'll stand up, we want to pray for you. If you are near one of these wonderful people, if you'll just stretch out your hand to them. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you so much for this gift, for this enormous gift. And Father, I ask that you just fill every mom here, Lord Jesus, with your Holy Spirit, with your strength, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you give them wisdom where they feel like they have none, that you will give them life where they feel just exhaustion. Father, I pray that you would just come, fill them up, Lord Jesus. I pray that each of these women would be true to who you're calling them to be and not who the world says they need to be. Father, I pray that their words would be just your words, Father. Give them comfort, give them joy, give them hope, Father. Give them rest. I pray that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing upon blessing, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and we thank you so much. in your name. Amen. If the ministry team would like to come up. Everybody stand up. Sorry. If the ministry, you can't tell, I don't do this every week. If the ministry team would please come up. On the back of that, I would like, there's a couple, if you have any kind of prayer need, please come get prayer. But specifically, you know, Reese and I have been on both sides of the motherhood, parenthood coin of, we have three kids, but it was a long, hard struggle to get them here. And if you are going through that, if you want to have children, and that hasn't happened yet, I want you to get prayer. I want to invite you to get prayer today. I want you to get prayer today. Invite you to do that. And also during worship, I really felt like if you have, this kind of sounds so vague, but if you're just really feel like you're brokenhearted, the Holy Spirit wants to touch you today. So if either of those things, and just anything, if you have any kind of need, please come down for prayer.